Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And we're the PM team, Pony and Mueller, presented by Chafin Luhana Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. Chris, is it weird that jump by Van Halen just popped into my head randomly?
A little bit weird, yeah. Why did it?
Do you like Jump by Van Halen more than Jump by the Pointer Sisters? Do you know that one? Jump for my love.
No, I don't. Jump in. So by default, I like Jump by Van Halen more than Jump by the Pointer Sisters.
Dave Richard.
Do you feel like I should know Jump by the Pointer Sisters?
It's a very popular song. I'll have Craig dig it up during one of the breaks.
No, here's the only litmus test I need. Craig, do you know the song Jump by the Pointer Sisters?
For sure not.
Then it's not that popular.
If you go to a pit game, if they call like a jump ball, they'll like play Jump by the Pointer Sisters for like 10 seconds to, you know, fit the
mood.
The game situation, yes.
I bet Dave is riveted.
Dave Richards, senior fantasy football writer, CBSSports.com. Sorry, Dave, about all that.
My grandmother knows Jump from the Pointer Sisters.
Pony, how do you feel?
She will rock out to that, no problem.
I think I want to hang out with your grandmother. Don't take that the wrong way, though.
Well, that's kind of creepy, but okay.
Before you could even finish the don't take that the wrong way.
I absolutely did. Dave, let's start with tonight's game, Patriots and Giants. Another game without Saquon Barkley for New York. Probably the last one. Is their starting running back in this game a good flex or streaming option?
For the Giants, hell no. For the Patriots, several. I think you know what to expect from Sony Michel at this point. He's a touchdown-needy fantasy running back. Better in non-PPR than PPR. Should continue to see upticks of 15-plus carries. Giants' run defense is beatable for sure. And James White does his thing as the passing downs guy. Typically, White plays more than Sony, but Sony gets more touches than White. I think both are usable in PPR this week, actually, but it's definitely Michelle and non-PPR who fantasy managers can really get behind. They are good starters this week. The Giants are probably going to go with a combo at running back, led by undrafted rookie John Hilliman from Rutgers. I know you guys know everything about him, so I'm not going to go ahead.
Hey, there was a good running back from Rutgers last year, Gus Edwards.
I know, and you know what? Gus was pretty good.
Yeah.
This guy's not. So I don't think that John Hilliman should belong in fantasy.
Who's the Giants receiver who caught a touchdown last week for Shepard?
Oh.
Slayton?
It's Slayton. Darius Slayton. Yeah, that's who it was. He's not bad, but difficult matchup for him. This Patriots defense is really good.
Yep.
I was like, going to say,
you almost want to set a fantasy lineup just for this game for their showdown mode, just so you can use the Patriots defense.
I already did, actually.
Yeah.
So,
so did the rest of America, including my grandmother.
Dave, before I quit the fantasy league that I was in, which is a story maybe
Hold on. I'll give you the Cliff's notes. It's a keeper league. Nobody has ever had a trade vetoed in years. Andrew's won the league a couple times in the last several years.
Yep.
He tried to make a trade this year.
I didn't try. The trade was...
He made a trade. It got vetoed by the rest of the league. Andrew has raised a huge stink, gone total anarchy mode,
Dave.
And has dropped all... He just sat all his players. He has taken his ball and gone home so as to dramatically impact the playoff
race. Dave,
I'm
the Joker of the league. I've created anarchy and chaos.
And here he goes.
Yep.
I can't believe it, Andrew.
Yeah.
Well, if you knew Andrew a little better,
I'm a man of principle, Dave. I'm a man of principle.
What was the trade?
There were draft considerations that complicate things, so it's not easy to get into on the air. But I got Tyreek Hill and Mahomes back in the trade.
Okay.
But I'm 2-3 and in ninth place, so I don't know why everybody was crapping their pants over it.
I can't imagine what you gave up. Like, future draft picks, you gave away beans. For the cow.
Yep. Okay, let's not make me look any worse than I already do. Tell me more about Tyreek Hill. Is he going to play on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't believe he's had a full practice yet. That's what Andy Reid says he needs to have before he gets back on the field. He, like Saquon, from our lips to the fantasy gods' ears, hopefully they are back by week 7. I would not count on Tyreek Hill at this point, but things can change quickly. And Kansas City, they never seem to run out of receivers. They can literally just pull a guy out of the stand,
Pringle.
Put the brand name of a potato chip on the back of his jersey, and he'll go out and get 100 yards and a touchdown. That's what happened last week.
Dave, any kind of permanent breakthrough with what Will Fuller did last week that carries over subsequent weeks for him?
Well, what we've known from Will Fuller is that he tends to score in bunches. So once he gets going, he has a hard time slowing down until he invariably gets hurt. That's something that happens to him rather frequently. No, what happened last week is that the Texans' offensive line started to play better. They played a defense that doesn't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and that allows Deshaun Watson time to throw, and he did it against a defense that double-teamed DeAndre Hopkins, rather. So if that continues, then yes, you are going to see Will Fuller put up big numbers, but the word is out now, and the Chiefs are going to have to come up with some sort of plan to limit Will Fuller. Can he be good? Is he a good flex with upside to be a number two wide receiver? Hell yeah. He might even be a number two receiver just as is. But there's a lot of guys that are like him out there. Marquise Brown is one of them. You could argue that Deontay Johnson is one of them. Guys that just have big upside where one play can make their day in fantasy. At least with Fuller, he might have 2, 3, 4 chances to have some really good numbers. I think in the matchup against Kansas City, people are going to absolutely use him as a number two receiver, particularly because four teams are on bye. There's a lot of receivers sitting out that would normally start this week.
He's at Dave Richard on Twitter, senior fantasy football writer. Go to CBSSports.com, waiver wire, help, trade value charts. If you're allowed to make trades in your league, that would be nice, a useful resource, trade value charts. You can follow him at Dave Richard on Twitter. Dave, things have gone from bad to worse for Todd Gurley owners, right? There was big buyer beware coming into the season, obviously, but I would say that right now those owners probably feel like crap.
Yes, I don't know how much more analysis I can give you on top of that. Hopefully he practices today, Friday, one of those 2 days. Both of those days would really be great, and he goes out and he plays against San Francisco. But it's a tough matchup for him, and I think it's pretty clear that Todd is touchdown dependent. If he doesn't score, you're not looking at a lot of yardage left over, and that's typically the profile of a number two fantasy running back. But here's the deal. If he doesn't practice on Thursday, anybody who plays fantasy should make a beeline to their waiver wire to pick up Malcolm Brown. He would be the running back that would start in place of him for the L.A. Rams. There's a similar situation going on in Arizona with David Johnson, where he's mispracticed. I believe he's mispracticed 2 days now.
And Edmonds has looked good.
He has. And he's a great fit for this offense because he's fast. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. I like Edmonds better than Brown. They're both available in about half of CBS Sports League. I'm sure on other sites they're readily available, too. If you've got a guy on your bench that you know you're not going to start this week and you don't think there's going to be a mad rush to pick up off waivers if you cut them, do it. And pick up these running backs just to speculate on them potentially playing. They would both be great starters if they end up being the starters for their teams.
Dave, I just feel like I'm asking this so that Andrew can laugh at me and maybe Craig on the other side can laugh at me and you can laugh at me, but with the Browns laying a gigantic egg, I'll be kind, at midfield on Monday, is anybody on that team not named Nick Chubb? I mean, are things bad enough there, let me put it this way, that you're nervous about starting some of these wide receivers if you have them, that you might bench them with their struggles being what they are?
You always ask a Browns question.
It's easy to do that with Jarvis Landry because he has only one game with more than 11 PPR fantasy points as it is. Harder to do that with Odell because you know what his potential is, and we've seen it a couple of times this season where he's made some great plays. But here's what's really going to scare the bejeez out of you is that they've got Seattle this week at home, then a bye, and then their next 4 games are against the Patriots, Broncos, Bills, and Steelers. These are not easy defenses, and it's going to be tough for Baker Mayfield behind that offensive line to have the time that he needs to throw downfield and to make great plays for Odell Beckham and even for Jarvis Landry, too. They need to shake things up. We haven't seen enough evidence that they're going to do that yet. This could be the week where we start to see it happen, and then during the bye week they really get creative. But still, tough matchups ahead. If you've got Odell Beckham, you could consider trades for him now, but you almost want to hope that he has a big game against Seattle so that you can sell high on him because he's got the bye, then the bad games after that. Things could get rough for Beckham, and Baker is getting dropped in a bunch of leagues. I'm not sure if people are really going to feel good about starting him at any point over the next month and a half.
Dave Richard, CBSSports.com, senior fantasy football writer. Dave, I ask you about the Chargers backfield every week because it's really interesting, and it's even more interesting here now because the Steelers play the Chargers on Sunday night. What do you think here? Eckler had like an amazing catch game or reception game last week against Denver, but more work for Melvin Gordon. So who's the better play against the Steelers Sunday night?
I'm still going to say it's Eckler. I actually think it's going to be a good, close, competitive game. Steelers might be able to get out of there with a win, but we know what happened the last time I predicted that when they went across the country. It did not end well. I still think Melvin Gordon is still rounding into shape. He needs to, you know, just get back his legs back under him, as they say, whereas Eckler is already there. So given that fact, and add on that the offensive line for the Chargers, man, they just lost Mike Pouncey. He's done for a while, and it's going to make it even easier for the Steelers front to get in the backfield. It's going to be hard to run on Pittsburgh this week for the Chargers, so they're going to have to throw a lot. That'll favor Eckler. So I think Eckler is the one that fantasy managers should start, whereas Melvin Gordon, probably more of a number two fantasy running back.
Dave, a lot of, I guess, Green Bay Packers fans, or maybe I'm just kidding here, Davante Adams owners want to know if you're at all optimistic that there's a chance he'll play on Monday night in that divisional matchup.
Doesn't look like it. He was practicing his jumper during practice today, and it's their first day of practice. This is their Wednesday-type practice because they play on Monday. So their official injury report will be out on Saturday. But I talked to a buddy who's pretty close with the Packers, and this was live on the radio. He does not expect Davante Adams to play in week number six. So if you've got him on your team, you're probably going to need to go in a different direction at wide receiver. There's a lot of guys out there that make some sense. We talked about Byron Pringle as one of those guys for Kansas City. Believe it or not, the Dolphins receivers, Preston Williams, Devontae Parker, they are actually interesting options this week because of their matchup against Washington. And there's a bunch of other guys at wide receiver. Mohamed Sanu was a popular name off the waiver wire. He's still going to be out there in a handful of leagues. They could help you in place of Davante Adams. I don't know if I would trust one of the Packers wide receivers against the Lions. I'm also not sure just how healthy the Lions' secondary is. If Darius Slay is back, that definitely makes things harder on Green Bay.
Dave Richard on Twitter, at Dave Richard. Watch him on the 24/7 home of CBS Sports, CBSSportsHQ.com. All right, Dave. I know you usually say good luck in your fantasy matchups, but I don't have one this week, so I'll have to find another.
Yeah, you get to take it easy.
I'll do daily stuff. I'm too obsessed to not do anything.
Who isn't?
Right.
Who isn't? All right. Go
see you, Dave.
D.D. Westbrook in your DFS, by the way.
Thank you.
That's the secret name, D.D. Westbrook.
Craig's out there. Oh, man, look at Craig there. He's got his little notebook full of interesting facts.
All right,
he's
see D.D. You, Dave.
Westbrook. Okay. Wow.
Craig was thinking about the other Rams running back, Darrell Henderson, until
Craig
shouted out Malcolm Brown, and I think in the middle of that segment he picked Brown up.
Craig wants to be the smartest guy in the room, but he knows when to defer.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Coming up next, how about this for a best bet question? Better bet, really. Steelers to win the AFC North or Penguins to win the NHL's Eastern Conference? We'll give you the odds on both of those and debate it. It's the PM team on The Fan. Get to picks in a little bit. Friendly reminder that we're Pony and Muller, presented by Chafin Luhana, injury law firm doing good by doing right. Ed Bouchette in a half hour. Also, we have an update on the Steelers quarterback situation and a new twist to it involving a third name. Rudolph Hodges, a third name. Get to you later.
Oh, that third name.
Chris,
what I think
better bet.
Be. Yes.
Steelers to win the AFC North. The odds, 13-1 right now. Or the Penguins to win the NHL's Eastern Conference. The odds right now, 14-1.
Steelers to win the AFC North.
Go on.
You've got fewer teams to hop over. The Bengals, are we agreeing the Bengals pretty much out of this little jackpot?
Yes. I think that's fair
to
assume.
Can the Steelers be multiple games better the rest of the way, three games better than the Ravens? I think they can. I'm still not sold on them. Can they be two games better than the Cleveland Browns? As much as I have been a diehard, I'm not backing off of the Browns winning the division. And by the way, for the record, I'll still say I think they're going to.
that does not seem implausible at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're asking me at 13-1 versus 14-1, what is a better use of, say, $100 just for round numbers' sake? Absolutely the one where you've basically got to have your team be better than two other teams. No question. Man, Baltimore, the wheels are coming off the Baltimore Express, I think, rather quickly. And Cleveland, I have no idea if they're going to get it together or not. If the Steelers get anything resembling passable to competent quarterback play the rest of the way.
Go on.
And stay relatively healthy. I think their defense might improve enough that they've got a shot at this. They've also gone through the meat grinder portion of their schedule. They already got the Patriots. They already got the Seattle Seahawks. Of the teams that are left, the Rams theoretically scare you. They lost to the Bucs in their own building. The Colts look like a really complete team, but Darius Leonard's concussion's kind of weird. They lost to the Raiders in their own building. The Browns twice looked, at least I thought, like 0-2. I thought the Cleveland was going to be good. Now what Cleveland can't do, which is protect the quarterback, is what the Steelers are good at, which is get after the quarterback. I'm not saying I'm going to predict this is going to happen because what I said about competent quarterback play is still a huge if.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it seems like a way better bet at 13-1 than the Penguins to get healthy. If the Penguins get into the playoffs, okay, anything can happen. I think it is a real question whether they will.
What percentage chance do you give the Steelers of going to Baltimore and winning right now?
Between 25 and 40, somewhere in that range.
That's a big range.
I know. I'll narrow it down. I'll say like 35% chance.
Because I think the only way the Steelers can win the division is if they go 2-1 in their remaining games against the Browns and the Ravens. They've got to, at bare minimum, split with Cleveland. And I don't see a way for them to win the division without
evening
and leveling the score against Baltimore head-to-head. The Ravens have a weird schedule quirk where the beginning is easy, the middle is super hard, and the end is pretty easy. The Ravens have the Browns have a weird schedule where it's the first half is super hard and the back end is really easy. I think one, if not both of those teams are going to get to 8-8, and I don't think right now the Steelers will get to 8-8. The Steelers will not have the wild card door open to them. They only have one playoff spot available to them, whereas the Penguins have five, right? They've got the three spots that are locked into the Metro Division, and they've got the two wild cards.
And, I understand the math part of this.
And we talked about this. We always discuss this when trying to figure out the NHL's Stanley Cup playoffs. Just get in, man.
I know, but they don't have
just
Phil Kessel.
Get
and
there.
We all laughed about how, Phil Kessel this. They have Dominic Cahoon. No one knows where he is. Like, is he on the ice? Is he actually skating? Because we don't notice him.
When you pick the Steelers,
they've got Simon.
We knew that going into the season. What it sounds like to me is that in three games, you have gone from believing the Penguins will make the playoffs in three games have caused you to flip-flop and now say they're not going to make the playoffs, Chris.
Okay, and you're going to try to pillory that as being an unreasonable man's statement and hypothesis, which I've been accused of worse.
Is that what you're saying, first of all?
Yes. Mike Johnston's here. I know it doesn't count. It's Johnston. They make the playoffs on game 82, correct? Just refresh my memory.
They won in Buffalo in
Buffalo,
game 82.
2-0, I think. One Mike Sullivan year. Was it last year or 2 years ago? They make the playoffs on game 81. I want to say it was last year.
Last year they did, yeah.
Last year they would have had to have an act of God happen to miss it because it was like a pretty secure, they're going to get this
done.
They
had a 100-point season.
But it's still not clinched until the penultimate game of the season. Malkin is out for a long time, potentially. They are not getting any younger, and they traded away in the offseason their other big hired gun. They're
You knew all of that last week when you picked the Penguins to make the playoffs.
Didn't I tell you I looked at them as like a 6, 7, or 8 seed, though?
In three games, you now have them down to what, the ninth
is
best team in the Eastern Conference?
Wait, you're acting like, though, that Evgeny Malkin being hurt potentially for more than a month, maybe 2 months, does not necessarily change that paradigm a significant amount. I think it does.
Okay. Fair enough. That's a valid point.
I'm waiting for the butt here.
No, it's a good one. We don't have time.
Okay. All right.
Because I got to get to picks where I routinely beat
you. Oh, no, this hurts.
This report was brought to you by the Action Network, sponsored by the Action Network. Ed Bouchette coming up at 5 o'clock, our Steelers insider. It's Pony and Muller on 93.7 The Fan. Big thanks to the Action Network. Get reports from them on picks. Chris Muller might find some of those picks useful. And they're sponsored by Pittsburgh Bottle Shop Cafe in Collier Township. I believe in the history of this fabled radio show, this will be the first time I lead off picks because I've passed you in the overall standings, Chris.
After a 5-3 week for the Filippone squad and a 2-6 absolute stinkeroo, you have in fact passed me. It is very tough to say that out loud. The total standings right now, 23-25 for old Mulsey and 25-23 for Andrew Thomas Filippone.
Let's go, baby. All right. I'll start by introducing the pick that I'm about to make. It's a Friday night affair in front of a cast of hundreds inside the Hard Rock Cafe Stadium in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It's number 20, Virginia at Miami. The Hurricanes, a 2-point favorite against a ranked team.
Huh.
And guess what? I watched Virginia and Perkins, their quarterback, get absolutely killed by Notre Dame. I think he was sacked 10 times. He was seeing ghosts in that game. Miami's got a fast and aggressive defense. I think the odds makers know something in this game. Miami gets down 4 touchdowns. Virginia Tech fights back, loses a nail biter. I think they beat the other Virginia team on Saturday, or Friday night, I should say. I'm not used to being the first to go here with the pick, so I'm a little out of my comfort zone.
You done here?
I'm going to take Miami -2.
All right, I guess I'll channel my inner Andrew Filippone. I'm going with FAP. I won't say what that word sounds out because then people will accuse me of being dirty on the radio. I'm fading Andrew Filippone's, or no, FAP. Wow. Andrew, FAF, fade Andrew Filippone. I thought of.
So your only logic there is to pick against me.
Yeah.
Good one, because that's worked for you so well so far this year.
Who had to hold the Jim Boeheim sandwich board?
That was last year. I didn't mention. Did you notice I didn't mention last year? I said this year. That's worked.
Until last year, it worked pretty.
The Red Ribble Shootout.
Anyway, my pick is Virginia.
I got that, Chris.
+2.
Number 6, Oklahoma versus number 11, Texas. Neutral field. The Sooners. Boomer Sooner, 10.5-point favorite.
I hate in rivalry games laying this many points, but I think Hurts is really good, and I think Ellinger's good, but not like that. Jalen Hurts looks like he's going to make it 3 Heismans in a row for Lincoln Riley. I actually like Oklahoma to win comfortably here. I'm picking them to lay 10.5.
So do
cover.
I. Even though Texas covered double digits last week against West Virginia, they did it because West Virginia's quarterback turned it over 4 times. I don't think Hurts is going to be as charitable or as giving in this game. Oklahoma's got to get payback for losing this game last year, Chris. So I think they're going to hang a big, big number. Hook 'em. Oklahoma -10.5.
Why are you not allowed to do horns down now as like a taunt to the Texas people?
Because the Big 12's a bunch of fuddy-duddies. All right, USC at number 9, Notre Dame. What is this, the game for the golden shillelagh?
Oh, I don't know. There's a lot of Irish people in Southern California?
Notre Dame -10.5. I get it. They beat Bowling Green by 50 last week. USC kind of runs hot and cold. They lined this game up. I'm not sure, other than the quarterback, which is big, Ian Book for Notre Dame. I don't know how much more talent Notre Dame really has than USC.
I don't really
USC.
Know if they do have more talent. It might be a coaching thing.
I'm taking USC +10.5. I think they're a live underdog in that game, Chris.
I see this as one of two things. I see it as either Notre Dame actually shoves it back in everyone's faces and crushes them, or it is very much what you're describing, and I'm buying what you're describing here. I think USC, man for man, is going down that roster feeling pretty good about itself, largely. So I'll pick them to at least cover.
Big game in the Hagman household. Number 10, Penn State, -3. At number 17, Iowa, coming off a 10-3 loss at Michigan. Mr. Muller?
Eric, don't listen. I like Iowa +3 here at home, and I don't know, home underdog, that team. I think it's a game Iowa could still very well lose.
Night game factor?
Yeah, it's a game Iowa could lose, but I think they could lose it by 1 point. It just feels like these two teams played a game that ended 6-4 once, and I can't shake that. And I think Iowa at home, if this was on the road, I wouldn't feel so good. Iowa at home, I like in this setting.
I watched more of Penn State Purdue than I did Iowa Michigan. Both of those games were at the same time. Penn State killed Purdue for the first like 20 minutes of game clock, and then it was pretty even after that. And Purdue was without its playmaker and quarterback, so that left a bad taste in my mouth with Penn State. I'm going to take Iowa in an upset. I've been picking against Penn State all year and really hasn't worked. But I'm with you on this one, Chris. Give me the Hawkeyes. To the league where they play.
For pay.
The Seahawks, -1.5 at the Cleveland Browns. And I'm going to shock the world here. I'm taking the Browns in this game. They are such a yo-yo team. I think now everybody in the world thinks they're a 4-12 team. I was not impressed with the Seahawks. I was impressed with Wilson, but other than that, I mean, did they light the world on fire here against Mason Rudolph in week 2? The Steelers barely lost that game. So, 1 o'clock, I'm taking the Browns. They're going to do this all year with people, Chris, where 1 week people think
they're dead,
they found
now
something.
They're not. They're dead, now they're not. I'm going to pick the Browns too, but it's a slightly different reasoning or rationale. That game was a rout, 31-3. The Browns got humiliated. It was 14-3. The Browns are driving. Mayfield throws not a great pass, but plenty good enough to get caught by Callaway, except he bats it right up for an interception. That is a 14-point swing. 14-10 potentially at the half looks a hell of a lot different than 21-3. I think that changed what could have otherwise been at least a competitive game down the stretch. I like Cleveland to win this thing.
Let's just make a pick here and not give much analysis because the game stinks. Redskins -3.5 at the Miami Dolphins.
Miami. And I think the final score of the game is going to be 5-3 Washington.
I'm with you on that. 49ers, not the score, but the pick. 49ers at Rams. This is a good one. LA -3.5. And I'm going to take the 49ers here. My God, they're undervalued still after what they did to Cleveland on Monday night. Jared Goff against that defensive front, that pass rush. No, thank you. Gurley's not healthy. The 49ers are going to LA and they're winning. There's not going to be a home field advantage there. A ton of 49ers fans, products of the 1980s in LA.
Like they were born, their parents hooked up in the 1980s?
I don't know.
Of the 1980s in LA is a hell of a thing to
I'm
just
I'm taking wine them, dine them, 49 them. +3.5 outright winners.
So one trend that is headed in the right direction for the Rams, they've lost 2 in a row. Highest pass blocking grade on Pro Football Focus they've had all year in that game against Seattle.
Yep.
Here's a couple quick things. Freddie Kitchens and Todd Monken have been disasters calling plays for the Browns and scheming up offense. We know Sean McVay is good at scheming up offense by and large.
Mm-hmm.
I think he can out-coach Robert Saleh, who's coached a hell of a defense this year in San Francisco.
So you're picking the Rams -3.5?
I am, but just let me finish here.
We got to get to Steelers-Chargers, Chris.
Bosa is not going to have it as easy as he did against that human turnstile. Rams -3.5.
Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph, we don't know. We know James Conner will play. The Dollar Energy Fund, James Conner Show. Mondays with us after every game. Powered by Bowser Chevrolet. So can James Conner and company go to LA and cover the 6.5-point spread?
I'm going to say yes, and not only that, I think the Steelers win this game outright. I think Duck Hodges leads them to a win. No more analysis needed.
Here you go. Mike Tomlin record, Pacific time zone, Mountain time zone.
In Duck, we trust.
3-12.
Yeah.
The Chargers have shot themselves in the foot so many times this year. There's just a stub left. There are no toes.
But you're picking them.
I think Phillip Rivers finds Keenan Allen on Vince Williams a couple times. They got way more weapons than the Steelers, who are the walking wounded on offense. I don't think it's particularly high scoring, but I think it's high enough to cover a 6.5-point spread. Give me the Chargers. -6.5.
Go, Chargers, go.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy and McMurray. Join Sun on Tuesday, October 15th. I love this music, by the way. And help them support the fight against breast cancer. High of 75, a low of 49. Ed Bouchette next on 93.7 The Fan.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.